So the last couple of days we've been talking about the different mitzvahs, particularly the potential mitzvahs derais at the Seder. So we spoke about how matzah still remains to be derais, a maror, but not as that flush as only the rabbanon. Then there's a third mitzvah to say, what, we're mute? Hold on, yeah, we're mute. Okay, so we spoke a little bit about how matzah is a mitzvah derais, and maror is only a mitzvah of the rabbanon, as man as that. Now we have a third mitzvah. That's the mitzvah of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. So it was the mitzvah of Higadita, it's not a mitzvah in the Torah, it's not a mitzvah of the Rabbanan. So clearly, at one time, that was a mitzvah there, I said, that's no question. The Torah says explicitly, Higadita L'Bincha, one of the tag mitzvahs. So the Gemara quotes one opinion in the end of Maseches Pesachim that holds that if all the other mitzvah chila, Laila, don't apply in the Torah, there's no Pesach, and there's no Mara in the Torah. And remember, we mentioned there was one day that was rejected that held that matzah, this man Azeh, is also only mitzvah Rabbanan. Then by default, the mitzvah of Sipur will also be mitzvah rabbanan, because the Torah says, "Vigadta bilcha ba'avor zeh." Ba'avor zeh means these mitzvahs. So if the mitzvahs aren't here, then the Sipur isn't here either in the Torah. But we don't pass like that. The Gemara concludes that since we paskin that matzah b'zman zeh is the araisa, even though mor is not, and karpesa doesn't exist, but since there's some ba'avor zeh, we have some ba'avor zeh at a level of the araisa, therefore the Sipur is also at a level of the araisa mitzvah. So we paskin unequivocally la'alocha, that there's a mitzvah deraisa v'gadat al bincha, even bizman hazeh. What does this mitzvah entail? How do you exactly perform this mitzvah? So the word v'gadata means to speak. So the chara means you have to say it prepared. It's not enough just to think it. Even though the Rambam in the seventh parak of Muslim Tzimatza, when he quotes the mitzvah of Sittas Mitzrayim, the Rambam links it to the pasuk in Pashas Bo, Zohar, Sayom Hazeh, Shatza, Seven Mitzrayim. Well, Rashi Chumash doesn't say it. Rashi Chumash says that Zohar is referring to the daily mitzvah that mentioned Mitzrayim, but the Rambam quotes the pasuk Zohar is referring to the Leil Tezvav. So one would have thought that maybe if it's a mitzvah of Zechira, so maybe Zechira doesn't have to be bepeh. So that's clearly not the case. The same way that Zechira Samalek has to be bepeh, Zechira Shabbos has to be bepeh, and Zechira Mitzrayim of every day and every night Pashas has to be bepeh. So too the Zechir of the Lala Seyde, even if it's rooted in the Samad Mitzvah of Zechira, it also is the Saper. So the Rambam writes it very explicitly, so nobody argues with this. Otherwise, it's a Dimin HaTorah that you have to fulfill the Mitzvah of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, Dafke Bepeh. Can you perform the Mitzvah through Shomer Ko'ina? So why not? If Shomer Ko'ina works for Kiddush, and it works for Kriyas HaMegillah, it works for Parsha Zohar, according to some Rishonim, it works for Tkiyah Shofar. This machlek to Rishon that the Tkiyah Shofar is a mitzvah Shini or also a mitzvah Tkiyah. So according to those who say it is a mitzvah Tkiyah also, I don't quote the Shofar, but I hear the Shofar. It's also Shemek et Tekeh. That's like a subcategory of Shemek Oina. So if you use Shemek Oina for so many mitzvahs, why shouldn't it work for Magid? So the answer is it does. The most of the Farish in the end of Psachim, that if a person wants to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, listening to somebody else and having in mind the other person who be made to you, that would work as well. The only thing is, the Gemara says you have to be careful that the person who's made to you is a mechuyav bedavar. If he himself is not obligated in the mitzvah, then that would not be acceptable. So that's what the Gemara raises a red flag about a person who is a suma, a person who cannot see, is such a person chayav in the mitzvah of Sipur. There's a machlokes that's annoying whether suma is chayav in all mitzvahs. It's a general machlokes, but there we assume halacha that he is. But when it comes to magid, the Gemara quotes a special possibility that maybe the suma is potter. Why? Because the Torah says v'gadta ba'avor zeh. Ba'avor zeh always means kazeh reiva kadesh b'neinu zeh. Zeh always means elmer yomu elan kenu zeh. Zeh kenu elmer. Zeh always means to point to something. So maybe if a person can't see, so he's potter from the mitzvah of magid min haTorah. That proves that. So the Gemara quotes one opinion that says that maybe a suma is potter for magid min haTorah. The Gemara says if that's the case, so then a suma would not be able to be motzi someone who's not a suma. So that's where the Gemara, in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara's whole pilpul about whether a suma can be motzi, can be motzi. The Gemara says Rav Yosef, Rav Sheshi, Rav Suma, they were motzi the family in magid. So the Gemara has a whole pilpul about this. We see clear from the whole sukkah of the Gemara that enough of the fact that he has a suma, there's nothing wrong with being yaitse through shemei goyne. Probably no different than all other mitzvahs. Most of us have the practice that we say the Haggad ourselves. There are different communities, there are different families, different minhagim, but many people say, everybody says the Haggad together. Some people say it loud together, some people say it soft together, most people say the Haggad. Those who mamash want to be yotzi to Shemek Koyim, if the Bala say that we want to be yotzi, and you want to be yotzi, so then Meikar Din, the Gemara seems to say that would be acceptable as well. what exactly has to be said in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur? So it's not clear. The Torah doesn't give you a text. The text of the Haggadah is relatively new. The text of the Haggadah was put together from different statements of Tanoim, different Mamari Chazal, different Rushes, and different stories of Chazal. So that's that was a much later innovation, talking well after Matan Torah. So what is the bare-bone minimum? What's the mitzvah deraisa? So there's the mitzvah deraisa, like other mitzvahs deraisa, that don't have a set text in them. The same way that Kiddush doesn't have a set text, and Tefillah doesn't have a set text, and Birchat Hamazon doesn't have a set text. Most of the mitzvahs shebedibur were given to Moshe Rabbeinu as each person on their own. Everyone has to compose their own text every time, how they want to be at the Kiddush, how they want to bench, how to say Tefillah is very, very individualized. In the days of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, so the beginning of Bayi Sheni, so Chazal realized that people aren't so good at doing this anymore. People's Lashon HaKodesh wasn't so fluent anymore. People didn't know how to say their own tefillahs and their own brachas. So therefore, Chazal made up a whole array of different formalized texts. So we all say the Haggadah, we have a formal text in the Haggadah. But Min HaTorah, there is no formal text. What are the components that go into the mitzvah? What do you have to say to be Yotzei Min HaTorah? So the same in the Moshul, when it comes to tefillahs, so there may be certain deraistic definitions of what constitutes tefillah. When it comes to benching, there are certain deraistic statements after a minute. So what are the deraisic parts of the mitzvah of Sipur Tehillim time? So it's very, very unclear. So there was somebody sharing the Sipur saying that it's really nothing. It's just mamish, very, very short kits and imrits, shunt them out of its rhyme and calling the night and go to sleep. So some say that maybe that would also be good enough min HaTorah. That's what somebody sharing say. There's a famous question, why there's no bracha on Sipur Tehillim time? What do we make a bracha? Should you be shunt the twist into Vanu Sapur Tehillim time and then start to sing about a Meinu? So some of the Rishonim say, because you're ready to be Yotzei Mitzvah, when you make Kiddush, you said Zechut Tzitzis Tribes, so you're ready to be Yotzei Sipur. That's a very, very short Kitzur Seder. So Reb Chaim is a famous word. Reb Chaim says that he doesn't think that would be good enough. But the Mitzvah of Sipur Tzitzis Tribes is not Zechirah Tzitzis Tribes. Reb Chaim has a famous comment in his Chidushim and Shas as to what's the difference between the Zechirah of every day and every night and the Sipur of Leila Seder. So Reb Chaim says that the Sipur of Leila Seder has to be more Bi'arichus. It has to have a beginning, it has to have an end, it has to have a theme, it has to have a kedavah, it has to have a plot, characters, it's got to have a whole, it's got to be a story. The Zechira is just quick. Like Zechira's Kiddush, Zechira's Amalek is just chit-chat. You just say what happened quickly and move on. But the Chayav on the Masapir, it says Mitzrayim, he got it, does a much, much more elaborate mitzvah, and it has to have a beginning, it has to have an end, and that's what the Mishnah says. It has to be Masam and Gnusim and Sam and Shebach, that you have to start with the bad parts and move up to the good parts, and you have to talk about the different aspects of the Yom, etc. So there are a lot of different components. It's much, much longer than just saying a quick Zechut Tzitzis B'Tzrayim. There are 2 days in the Gemara at the end of Pesachim. What is Masa B'Gnus B'Tzayim B'Shevach? Everyone agrees you have to do that. You have to start with the bad and move up to the good, but it's not clear what's the bad, what's the good. So one opinion in the Gemara is it's the Gashmias, and the other opinion is the Ruchias. So that's and the thing is we say both. We say about the Mayinu, which is Gashmias, and we say Mitchilav Deh Vadazar, which is Ruchias. So we yet and we cover ourselves on all bases in terms of what the Masa B'Gnus B'Tzayim B'Shevach is all about. There is a famous statement of Rabbi Gamliel that appears in the end of Maseches Pesachim that's been incorporated into Ar HaGadah that Koshel Omer Shlosh Yadua B'Pesach Liyotzu Dechavosoi. So one did not fulfill his mitzvah. So the only thing that's unclear about the statement is which mitzvah is Rabbi Gamliel talking about. He just says Liyotzu Dechavosoi, don't tell you which mitzvah he's referring to. So there was much like this, and we shared about this. So the Rambam writes that you weren't Yotzi Magid. The Rambam meant explicitly that if you don't say the Pesach Matzah Maror, so you weren't yet to the mitzvah of Magid. And the Ran doesn't seem to say that. Tosfos doesn't seem to say that. The Ran comments on this Mishnah, Koshla Omer Shlosh Dvar Malyotze Dechavosai. So the Ran says it doesn't really mean you weren't yet to be Yeved. It means that you weren't yet to be Shlamusa. You weren't Malyotze Kedah Lechatchil. You weren't yet to be Hidura. But to say you weren't yet to be Yeved, maybe you weren't yet to be Yeved. I did what I was supposed to do. Why wasn't I Yotzei? Why is Pesach Matzah Maror? Why is the Ma'akim in the mitzvah? So why did the Ran assume that it's impossible that you be Ma'akim in the mitzvah? If you hold that, like the Rambam, that Koshla Omer Yotzei Chavosa means refers to the mitzvah Magid, why is that impossible that you weren't Yotzei? The Torah says, we got to tell the B'Avur Z'as Hashem Li, so you have to talk about the mitzvah Laila. So why did the Ran consider that to be inconceivable? It's impossible. If anybody in their right mind should have ever thought that you're not Yotzei the mitzvah. So the Ran apparently has a different understanding of what Yotzei the Chavasa means. That the Rabbi Gamliel was not referring to the mitzvah Magid, he was referring to the mitzvah of Achilas Pesach Matzah Maror. That what Rabbi Gamliel was driving at was that in addition to the Maisa mitzvah of eating the Pesach Matzah Maror, you have to talk about it as well. That's what the Mishnah quotes was, Ramatim Zipach Pesach, you have to talk about the mitzvah Zalaila. So that's what the Ran understood. That's a key of independence of Matzah Moror. So the Ran said, that's ridiculous to say this, but Akiva Mitzvah, I wasn't Yoytzeh Chilas Matzah if I don't talk about it. I wasn't Yoytzeh Pesach Matzah Moror if I don't talk about it. That doesn't make any sense. Of course I was Yoytzeh. It just means that the Chetchila you're supposed to, in addition to doing the Mitzvah, you should be talking it up as well. You have to be discussing it as well. So that's what the Ran thought, that doesn't make any sense, that should be Ma'akib B'di'evin, before when Rabbi Gamliel says, so he just met the Chetchila. The Ran says it's a funny Lashon, it's a very mundane Lashon. When we find Chazal speaking such exaggeration, such a Lashon Guzman, well, Yotzei Dechavasov doesn't really mean it's a joke, but that's Dechavasov. So the Ran brings a raya from the Sugya, in the second Bechav of the second Sukkah, where the Mishnah tells us that there was a Machlekes Misham in the Sila, when they eat in the Sukkah, so what if I'm eating in the Sukkah, but my table's outside the Sukkah, is that okay? So the Sila said, why not? As long as your body's in the Sukkah, what do I care where your table is? And Bishami says, no, but the Rabbanon were afraid that if the table's outside the Sukkah, then the next thing you know is you're going to schlep out, you're going to lean and follow your table, and you're going to end up eating out of the Sukkah. So therefore, the Rabbanon, Chazal said, you shouldn't eat in such a Sukkah. So we have to pass like Bishami. It's one of the very, very few cases the Gemara passes explicitly in the beginning of a Sukkah like Bishami. So the Mishnah tells a story that once the Tanaim, the Tamidim of Bishami, Solo, once went to visit Rabbi Yochanan Acharani, he was one of the older Tamidim at the time, he went to visit him in his Sukkah in Chol Moed. And they saw he was sitting in such a sukkah. He was sitting at the edge of the sukkah, and his table was outside. So he must have had a lot of grandchildren around the table. So he was delegated to sit at the end, so he was sitting with his table outside. So they said to him, the Talmid B'Sham, they said to Rabbi Yochanan Acharani, in Kena Yisa Oysa, this is what you've been doing all these years. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. So the Ran said, Chajal, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. It's only been Rabban anyway. So it's not Ma'akeh, so why? What kind of lashon is that? Lo kiyam from the sukkah. So you see that Chazal used the phrase lo kiyam, lo yotza, doesn't always mean b'diyam, but it means lo yotza nechavasa lechatchila. It means you didn't fulfill the mitzvah properly, you violated this din b'dirabanan of not being careful about this din b'dirabanan. It doesn't impact on the kiyam mitzvah. So whereas the Ran brought this as a raya for Hishtikul Torah about Rabbi Gamliel, Tosfos in Yirmei Sechah Sukkah says, no, the Tanaim really meant it for Yochanan. And they said, you want Yetzeh. So Tosfos says, it's a joke, you want Yetzeh. So the Midrabban, how are you not Yetzeh? So Tosfos says, you see from this Mishnah, that Chazal can be Eikir Mitzvah. Chazal of the Koyach, when the Gemara says, that Yesh Koyach Recham Lach, Adam and Atar, Vishay Dal Taaseh, it doesn't just mean they can tell you not to blow shofar, not to shake a lulav. It means they can declare blowing shofar on Shabbos is not a mitzvah anymore. Shaking a lulav on Shabbos is not a mitzvah anymore. Eating in the sukkah when you're sitting with your table outside is not called a chilav sukkah. They can be oikid davar min haTorah, shevel tas. They have the koyach. They can declare what used to be a mitzvah is no longer considered to be a nice mitzvah. How did I do it? Well, where did that come from? So that's a loaded question. Where did that koyach come from? So the Rav bring a raya from that Mishnah to explain Rav Gamliel being not ma'akev, and tells to say that Mishnah itself is not a good raya because that Mishnah taka was ma'akev. Anyway, back to our story, back in terms of Pesach. So we have different opinions in the Rishonim what is necessary to fulfill this mitzvah of ma'akev. So everyone agrees it's a mitzvah in a Torah b'zman hazeh, and some Rishonim seem to say it could say a very, very shortened version, one half-baked phrase and you're good to go, and other Rishonim say, no, it's got to be more. What more does it have to be? So maybe it's got to be Masa Lubizus and Meshevach, maybe it has to be Mitzvah Salayah, it's got to be a lot of things have to go into this mitzvah. When does this mitzvah apply? What is this man of the mitzvah of Magid? So we say in the Haggadah, we quote from the Tanakh, from the Childa, Yachal Mesh Chodesh, Yachal Mibi Yod Yom. So it's a very, very strange Childa, Yachal Mibi Yod Yom. Why would I think I could be Yaitz in the mitzvah of Sipat Sin Tribe Mibi Yod Yom? Yochel, I could blow shofar erev Roshon. Yochel, I could eat the sukkah a week before. Yochel, I could do mitzvah. I could make kiddush and Shabbos on Tuesday. What do you mean yochel miyad yom? That's why yochel miyad yom. Why would I even thought I could do it miyad yom? So Reb Chaim is a famous beer on this mechilta. He says, I think the mechilta is driving it as follows. Yochel miyad yom means I might think I can be mekabel yantif early. I'll be mekabel yantif early, and therefore I can daven ma'ariv and I make kiddush. I do all the I go to regular Shabbos and yantif. I go up to the early Shabbos, go to the early Yom Tov. I might think I could say that I've got it ready. No, Talmud Lombar, Ba'avurzeh lo mat b'shoshesh mat z'machol. No, you can't do that. You can't be Yotzei Ma'akim b'biyad yom because it's not yet time for Matzah Moror. And why isn't it time for Matzah Moror? Let me be Makabal Yom Tov early and I'll eat the Matzah Moror earlier also. So Chaim says they can't do that either because based on Tosfos, the end of Masechet Pesachim, the Mechayev of eating Pesach Matzah Moror is not Kedushas Chag HaMatzos. It's the Leil Tesvav Nisan. If it would be Kiddushas Chagamatzas, then I could eat tomorrow also. Why do I have to make the Seder at night? It's too late, the kids fell asleep already. I'll make the Seder tomorrow morning. So that's no good. Tomorrow morning is Kiddushas. It's Kiddushas Tezvav, but it's not Leil Tezvav. So Leil Tezvav Nisan, Balach Tezvav, Balai Lazer. But Erev Techolatz, you have to be Balai, you have to be Erev, in order to be Yotze the Mitzvah Achila. So once we say you have to, it has to be the Erev to be Yotze the Mitzvah Achila, it has to be the Erev to be Yotze Magid as well. So that was the give and take of the Tanam. Yochem Yibi Yad Yoyim. I might think Tosefus works, Kamash Balon, it doesn't work because Magid is linked to Matzah, Matzah is Korn Pesach, Balach Tezvav, Balach Tezvav, Balach Tezvav. So the beginning of this Matzah Mitzvah is Laila. What about the end? When is the soul's man of the mitzvah? So the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Pesachim there was a machlekes of Tanoim as to when is the, we spoke about this, we talked about this just yesterday. When is the soul's man of Achilles Korban Pesach? Whenever you think the soul's man of Achilles Korban Pesach is, that's when the soul's man of Matzah is. So the Rishonim extended and said, whenever you think the soul's man of Matzah is, that's when the soul's man of Magid is. So whenever you, after Chatzos, according to Luz Benazar, after Alos Shachar, after Rabbi Akiva, the choy is too late to do magid. So if it would have been yesterday, I would have said, it's too late, it's too late. If a guy says, see, but it's dry, at 3 o'clock in the morning, according to a close bit of Zari, it's wasting his time. It's time to hurry, it's not see, but it's dry. If a guy says, see, but it's dry, the next morning, according to a biakiva, it's like blowing shofar, Tom Gedaya. This man, the mitzvah is over, that's what I would have thought. So the nitziv and others have a word that want to suggest that maybe, no, maybe, that when Chazal say, kol amar b'lasap, it's mitzvah, mitzvah is a different mitzvah, in the other mitzvahs, it actually goes past the zman. The real chiyuv is chatzos or avos hashacha, but if you continue onwards, that's considered to be a boisif in a good way. Usually, kol amosif ala mitzvah is gereh, usually that's about toisif, and some of Chazal understood this is an exception to the rule. The kol amarbe goes even past the zman. What leads us to believe that? So the famous kasha, that is the famous kasha, all the mafarshim and hagod ask, on the famous sage of Maisa Belaz of Yeshua, so why was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah staying up the whole night? Should have gone to sleep with chatzos, according to him. So why is this happening? Kol Sa'al Laila. So different answers and differences. Some say it was the story took place in Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak was Rabbi Akiva's town. So Rabbi Akiva, the minig was to follow Rabbi Akiva's shita, but used to keep the seder till the morning. So other answers are given. So one of the answers that the Nitziv gives is that Rochenami thought that this man was over, and they were still going. That they were still continuing the past chatzos. Even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was continuing past chatzos because he felt that was the together of Kol Amarba raising the shulchan. Who is obligated in the mitzvah of Sipatis and Triumph? So men for sure are obligated. What about women? So the Pashup Shad is women should be Pturus. It's a mitzvah station as Bangrava. We don't have any Pasuk explicitly that says that women are Chayavos. So why should they be Chayavos? Unless one wants to argue that's also including Babur Zeh, that there's a Hukash Lahadadi, that whoever's Chayav in Matzah is Chayav in Sipur. So women are Chayavos in Matzah, because Matzah is compared to Chametz. So the problem we don't have is Rosh again. There's no Rosh in Chazal that says one is chayv and one is chayv and the other. Chazal connect the two in terms of Zman. The Gemara says if you potter from one, you potter from the other. But the reverse, we don't necessarily know that just because you're chayv in Matzah, that's an automatic, automatically means that you're going to be chayv in Sipur. We don't have any explicit statement of Chazal like that. So the Mechaz Chinuch writes that it's neural alignment that women have pterus from Sipur. It doesn't have a mokor that women are chayv in Sipur. Even though the Chazal say, let's say a person doesn't have any children, so he should say the sipur to his wife. So the Chazal says, don't do anything. He says, the wife is at Chayeves. If I tell the sipur to my child is also at Chayeves. He's on the Bar Mitzvah. So they're the recipient, to be the recipient of the sipur. You don't have to be the recipient of the sipur. Okay, so I want to speak to your little kids. So do we have a mokor that women are mamash Chayeves? So the Chazal says he doesn't know what the mokor in Chazal would be. So notwithstanding that, he throws his hands up because the Sefer Achinuch himself writes that women are Chayeves. So where does Sefer Chinuch get this from? He's assuming on the level of their Raisa. He doesn't say something to Rabbanim. He sounds like it's their Raisa. Where did he get it from? So maybe Sefer Chinuch got it from the cloud of Afein Harabiyosu Anes. So there's a famous Gemara in Megillat Avdalin, and in Shabbos Chol Gimel, and in Sefer Pesachim about Yeres Chanukah, and Kriyas Megillah, and Dalai Koisos, that women are Chayavs in all these mitzvahs, because Afein Harabiyosu Anes. So the Rishonim point out that Matzah is not mentioned. Matzah women are chayavos in any way, for other reasons, based on psukim, drashas, sakasos, but nowhere does the Gemara mention that afein harabios neis applies to matzah. Why not? Why is matzah different than dalakais, than chanukah, than purim? So there's a machlekes in Yishayim what the answer to that question is. So Tosfos in most places where they ask this kasha, this kasha comes up in a few places. So most places Tosfos quotes the regular line is that afein harabios neis is only a svar mid the rabbanim. It doesn't really work regarding mitzvahs deraisa. It's not a mechayv deraisa. It's the Chazal made it up. Chazal thought it was a nice idea, it was a nice, interesting, logical reason, and therefore, Midi Rabbanu, we're gonna make it up, and therefore, we only apply it to Mitzvahs Midi Rabbanu, Mitzvahs Rabbanu being Talakosis, Megillah, and Neris Chanukah. By Matzah Deraisa, it doesn't make any appearance whatsoever. And then Tosfos quotes another opinion from Rabbeinu Yosef. Yosef's opinion was, one of the other Balei Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yosef in Yerushalayim, who he lived in Europe, and then he went in Aliyah, moved to Israel later in his life. They quote from Rabbeinu Yosef, who says, no, that it really applies even to Mitzvah Deraisa. The only reason why it doesn't apply to Matzah, I would have thought there's a drasha from Sukkah, Maisa, whole gives you a whole shtickle, the Ocha Gadget, to explain why you need a special pasuk to tell women to chayav in Matzah. But the Ikaron, Afei Noibiros, next works for Mitzvah Deraisa. So it could be that the Sefer Chinuch was like that same idea as Rabbeinu Yosef, that Magid is a Mitzvah Deraisa. So can we apply Afei Noibiros on Eis? So maybe, yeah, maybe this is an example of Afei Noibiros on Eis. There was a boy from the Moshe Salavetsky, from the Rav's father, that I think the Chassam Sofer started part of it and he completed it, that Afei Noibiros on Eis only makes sense by mitzvahs that are persume nisa. When I do a mitzvah to others, to show, to spread the word to others, then women are obligated. When the mitzvah is done for myself, even though it's done to remind me of an ace, that's not called Afei Noibiros on Eis. So that's what, according to this idea of Moshe Salavetsky, you could argue that matzah is not really kafei achayrim. I eat the matzah for myself, I don't eat the matzah. If there are other people that say the matzah, it's basically the same matzah. Whereas it comes to sipat yis v'tzayim, that's a mitzvah lefaris v'zenes. Or dalat kais, that's the faris that the Rebbe writes. When you drink the dalat kais, the rechasei, but you're maris atzmik yis v'tzayim. You're showing others, it's a demonstration to others that you left v'tzayim. When you light Neris Chanukah, that's to others. When you read the Megillah, that's public for Semenisa. It was a Menisa for Kriyas Megillah. So all mitzvahs that involve a Pesumei Nisa, so those mitzvahs speak to women as well. Any mitzvahs that are just done just for yourself, so that's why Afei Noibiros on Eis doesn't apply. So there are many, many different reasons why Afei Noibiros on Eis falls short for matzah. Whether it does apply for Sipat Yis V'Tzayim seems to be dependent upon whether you accept this Sefer Chinuch. Okay, so again, we talked a little bit about the basic surah in terms of what the mitzvah is all about. We just took a little bit, drop in the midrash, just a little bit of chizuk, a little bit of errors. We mentioned that the Gemara quotes two possibilities, what the essence of Masa B'Gedus B'Sam Shevach is all about. Is it physical or is it spiritual? Does it start with Avad Mayinu, culminates with Yotzi'enu? Does it start with Shiloh of the Menazar, culminates with Akshav Kevanu? So we combine both. It could be a Tana Machlek, it could be both true, that there are two issues, two gulas that happened on Pesach night, and therefore we combine both into the secret system. But there's a fundamental question, what is the relationship between the two? Is Pshat like a Briska, like a Chakira in the Sefer Tzitzis Mitzrayim? Is Pshat that they're really two different stories? We lucked out. Tonight we hit the jackpot. We have two different yeshivas, two different gulas. We no longer are building pyramids, and we're also no longer worshiping idols. It just happened to be, just coincided those two things. They both happened to happen conveniently on Pesach night, so we'll knock off, kill two birds with one stone, and we say both of these things. Is that the way we understand the relationship between the two ge'ulas? Or do we say, no, that there's a much deeper relationship. The two ge'ulas are really intertwined, they're almost one and the same. There is a very real relationship between the two. It's like when we learn a sugya, so sometimes we have two dinim, but sometimes it's not clear. Are they two separate dinim, two distinct dinim, or are they one dinim, the two dinim merge to become one? So it doesn't seem to be that these are two separate, completely distinct yeshuas and gulas. There seems to be some connection between the two. The question is, what is the nature of this connection? It's easy to establish a connection. Now the next thing is to understand what the essence of the connection is all about. So we spoke about this several times. It's a theme that appears in the Rambam, both in Uchas Tshuva, as well as in the very end of the Rambam, in Uchas Malachim. In Uchas Tshuva, the Rambam is talking about the notion of a Schai V'Einish mitzvahs. And the Rambam, following the Maimon Chazal, Schai Mitzvah by Amaleka, that there's no real Schar for mitzvahs in this world. Mitzvahs are ruchniistic things. Torah mitzvahs is something that doesn't lend itself to Schar in this world. So the Rambam poses the obvious challenge on that Maimon Chazal, when he's doing the Tzukhul Chumash. The Psukim throughout the Sefer Dvarim, and the Vayikra, because they speak about brachas and kolos, the tovachos, about rain, and about peace, and about war, and about success and prospering. A whole parsha of the Torah dedicated to very physical things. But asati b'ta'artzach v'ito yirviyasatan t'ganecha. But that doesn't really mean it. It doesn't mean physical. What's this physical? Double tishri yitzar is grain, wine, and oil. Those are very physical things. So what's pshat? So the Rambam says that those physical brachas are not tzchar. Together of those, that's not tzchar for mitzvahs. That's not shayach. it would be impossible to have, you can't mix and match apple and oranges. You're going to give a physical schar for a spiritual entity. It doesn't make any sense. So obviously the schar has to be in some different realms, a different plane, different level of existence. So what are the brachas of this world? The brachas of this world are simply hechitimtzes to enable you to continue to do mitzvahs, because it is very, very difficult to do mitzvahs if you're hungry, very difficult to do mitzvahs if you're having a war, very difficult to do mitzvahs if there's a famine. So therefore the Torah is promising us that the bracha will provide us with the physical being, the physical brachas, the gashmis of this world, to enable us to be able to serve him properly. So all the brachas are not ends, they are means to an end. They are just to help facilitate. Once a person starts with mitzvah versus mitzvah, it's a bolat arbisainus. Once a person does a mitzvah, the bracha will make it easier for them and more conducive to do more mitzvahs. Vice versa, a person starts doing averus, because bracha will begin to yank away some of the brachas of this world. So then a person may end up, in a downward spiral of a very gross arera. So the physical world is not an end, it's merely a means to an end. And Ram develops the same idea more. Biarichos in the end of Hilchos Malachim, where he talks about Yemos HaMashiach. So the Rambam poses a question. He says, why are we dreaming and singing and we're crying for Yemos HaMashiach? What? So we should be wealthy, we should be Tavish, a big army, we should be in charge of the world. No. That's what we're looking for. That's the dream of the Yemos HaMashiach that we're looking for. So the Rambam writes, Olis Avla Chacham and Abim Yemos HaMashiach, Elias Penu Matar Bechachmasa, that we're looking forward to Yemos HaMashiach. But he said, there won't be any more wars, there won't be any more famine, there won't be any more tzaras. So people will be able to finally do what they're supposed to be doing all along. Moaz de'as Hashem, to Torah, mitzvahs, what we do best. So all the distractions, all the things that pull us away, all the Shibud Malchios, and Shibud Malchios comes in different shapes or forms, different things in today's world are called Shibud Malchios, all the things that take us out of the Beis Medrash, all the things that pull us away from doing our Avodas Hashem in the purest sense, so those things will no longer exist, and that will no longer lure us away from Torah mitzvahs. They're going to be nonsense. Moaz de'as Hashem, k'mayim liyam chasim. So the Rambam writes, it's going to be a great world. The physical bounty of Yemos HaMashiach is going to be great. All the brachas are going to be mekuyam b'shuvat Torah. And asad b'ta'artchem, there's going to be a lot of grain, a lot of wheat, everything's going to be gevaldik gemara. It's going to be wonderful. But the goal of those things is not an end in of itself. It's simply a means to an end to be able to enable us umal arz de'as Hashem. So that's the same principle the Rambam, the flame you saw, the Rambam develops in the Chashuvah, the Rambam develops in the Chos Malachim as well. So the stomach, that's the same shot. That's what Geula of Mitzrayim was all about. Here, Klal Yisrael were suffering and they're miserable and they're backbreaking. They're building pyramids and building cities and no click. Their babies thrown to the river. All the terrible, terrible things happening to them. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and say to them, okay, Torah mitzvahs, let's go. Everyone, talk to their mitzvahs. Everyone sit and learn to Torah mitzvahs. How's that going to happen exactly? How in the world are you going to give Klal Yisrael the Torah mitzvahs? You're going to make them, okay, no more of the Avodah Zarah. Now, if you're going to like, we give you Shabbos, Yom Tov, Tefillah. We are part of the power of Mitzrayim. How are we going to do all those things? So the answer is first, the shiur's going to be over in a minute, okay? We'll be done in 2 minutes. So the answer to the question is that first you have to have that geula of gashmias. You have to be able to overcome all those tzoros that are preventing you from the Eved Hashem. And once that happens, then we can begin to discuss. That's the order of the Haggadah. That's why we don't start off the Haggadah with Asher Kervanu. We start off the Haggadah of Harmini by Yitzhak Hashem Mitzrayim. If you don't first take us out of Mitzrayim and get rid of all the physical distractions and give us the opportunity to be able to go be Asher Kervanu, it's just not going to work. But if you want to know which is the real Geula, the real Geula is of course the second Geula. The real Geula of course is Asher Kervanu. The Torah says it time and time again. The Torah says, V'otzeis yeschem mitachas v'kachteschem liliyam. The Torah says, "Ani Hashem Hakadosh Yotel Niyoslachem Elokim." So the Torah doesn't mix words about this. It's obvious that Geulas Mitzrayim wasn't just supposed to end with some physical Geula. Now we're no longer working. You never got all the money, and we're good to go. We have a great time in the desert. No. The whole goal was to get the Har Sinai, was to get the Eretz Yisrael, to get to build the base of Mikdash, was to have Ashrus Hashchina. That was the whole goal. Everything was geared towards that. So when we have the two Geulas and Pesach Night, we're not celebrating two separate, just coincidental. It turns out the two things happen at the same time. What's happened is that there was a physical Geula, so that the physical Geula should set the tone for the spiritual Geula. So this is, I think, probably one of the most profound lessons for our lives, that we live in a world of a physical world. We live with so many different things, in the Tov, and not so the Tov in this world. So we have to know what is an end and what is a means for an end. So the minute that we begin to look at the world around us as an end in of itself, then we know we're off the beaten path. We know we're off the derech. So we have to keep on asking and challenging ourselves throughout our lives. That's going to be the decisions, all the decisions we're going to make. the decisions of what we're going to do in the workplace and how honest we're going to be and how much running after more money and more money and more money and more money we're going to be and how much lavish and gashmius, everything is a little more gashmius and more gashmius and more gashmius. So those are the questions we have to ask ourselves. If we really believe that the whole Olam HaGashmi is simply a chitim to the Olam HaRuchni, so we have to begin to challenge ourselves. And yes, but when is the Olam HaGashmi interfering with the Olam HaRuchni? And if it's interfering, so then obviously it's not serving as a means to get to the right place. So those are hard questions, but that's also part of the trend. To be able to put things into the proper perspective, to be able to appreciate all the wonderful brachos that Hashem gave us. So yes, it's a Yom Tov where we celebrate and we celebrate with a lot of good food and the bosa and the yayin and we take out a nice kelim and we sit b'nei chorin. That's good. That's wonderful. As long as we realize that whole imagery, that picture of Kuvan of Mesubin is supposed to be because actually Kuvan of Machal of Dasa. The minute that the Kuvan of Mesubin takes on a life in and of itself and it's not leading directly towards Kuvan of Machal of Dasa, then we know we got to get off the train, get back onto the right train, you're heading in the right direction. So, wish everybody a Chakosh Vesmech, wish you a Matzliach, and the Avodah Sayom, it's a Kabbalah, 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 Sayom, keep this going strong. Let the Shem right after Yom Tov. When does Yeshiva start again? Monday morning, okay, so Monday morning we have Hashem for our grandiose man. We follow Yom Tov, we'll get a few weeks of some shurim and some chazara, we'll get there wrong again. Shabbat.